G-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Of course, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Willie Donick out for the remainder of the show. We will talk to him on Monday, live from the Circus Sportsbook in Kentucky, following another Titans game, this one against the Houston Texans. But it's time for Ask D-Mace. So if you have a question for Derek, call us, text us right now at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Football questions, life questions, dad jokes, you name it, Derek will entertain it. So if you've got a question for Derek, something you've always wanted to ask our Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer, you can do it at 615-737-1025. We will start on our text line with Dustin in Hopkinsville. He says, D-Mace, did you ever have a play caller like our beloved Crying Brian? And were you just out there running angry like, dang, get us a new play caller? If not, was there a time where you were irate toward a coach during a game? Elaborate if so.
Oh, man, Brian, Crying Brian.
Crying Brian. Not to be confused with Flying Brian Pillman. Crying Brian Callahan, I suppose.
They're coming up with names for you, for Cali, boy, I tell you. I don't know. From what I've seen, obviously, Brian Callahan couldn't handle, you know, he just needed to be a head coach. I didn't necessarily think anything was wrong necessarily with his play calling. They just don't have the talent. Once I watch the film, like after the game and each one of the last couple of games they've had, I don't think it's been necessarily his play calling. Now, he's had some gaffes within the game, and they've been huge and noticeable by everybody in the country. But as far as his play calling, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with his play calling. The problem is he's learning on a job. And if I'm going to learn on a job, learn how to be a head coach on a job. Don't learn how to be a play caller and a head coach on the job the same year. So I never had a – let's just say I never had a play caller like that that was learning on the fly, or at least I don't believe I did, because all of the play callers that I was involved with in the pros, they have been, you know, play callers for some years. So – I haven't experienced that. But, yeah, I've experienced, you know, you used the word irate.
Mm-hmm.
I remember plenty of times getting in heated matches with the offensive coordinator. You know, our offensive coordinator wasn't our head coach. But even at the time when he was, when Billick was the head coach, Andy, he took over the play calling duties. You know, every once in a while, I get into it with him. But that's a part of football. That's a part of team sport, especially during the day of the game. Everybody's, you know, emotions are running high, and everybody ain't going to see things eye to eye every minute of the game. So I've had my, you know, harsh debates with head coaches or offensive coordinators.
One texter says, if you had your choice between firing either Amy Adams Strunk or Brian Callahan in order to make the football team better, who would you rather fire and why?
Oh, quick. I mean, I don't even have to think about that. It would be Brian Callahan. Listen, y'all may not, there are some people that may not like Amy because of the firing and hiring she's been doing and her not spending, you know, the bulk of her time here in Nashville. But listen, that organization needed some life to be breathed in it. And when she took full control or majority control over the Tennessee Titans, she did just that. They were winning as well, too. But she made that an environment, a place to go to, the facility, everything else. She made the, you know, the former players feel welcome in the building. So I know the team at this point in time isn't winning on the field. And I know, you know, Amy has made some decisions within the last 5 years or 6 years that, you know, in hindsight, you know, not to say she shouldn't have did it, but she maybe she should have waited in doing them after the season. But make no mistake, when she took over to now, she's made this organization internally, I believe, you know, for the players, I think she's made it better than what it was prior to her taking full control. Now, she has to get back to her winning. The team has to get back to its winning ways. But from, you know, from what I knew of the franchise before she took it over, it's in a much better place. They just need to start winning, because the last 3 years, going on 3 years now, they have been doing anything but winning.
We got a texter, and I assume this was for Ask D-Mace, but Matt texted, is there any scenario this year where Amy considers selling the team? No owner is really ever going to consider selling the team. Think about the last owner who left the NFL. Dan Snyder, right?
He was forced out.
It took a congressional investigation for Dan Snyder to be exiled from the NFL. I can't imagine a scenario where Amy Adams Strunk willingly sells the team that's been in her family for how long?
If she's alive, as long as she is alive, she will never sell this team. I don't believe she will ever even think about selling this team. I don't think she will. Now, who precedes her, whoever's her predecessor moving, you know, once that day come, I can't answer for them. Unless Bud put it in there, you can't sell a team. But then again, you know, you can work around that, I guess. But people need to get that out of their mind. There was an opportunity for this team to be sold back when, and she didn't take it. She anted up, and she took majority hold of this franchise. From that point on, this is her franchise, and she's never, at least I would be floored, like flabbergasted, if she ever sold this team while she still had breath in her body.
And it's easy to say when things aren't going well, sell the team. But I just think you're screaming into the void if you're doing that. Because these owners, they don't want to sell the team. They're making tons of money, hand over fist.
It's recession-proof, this is.
Look at the stadium that's being built not too far from where we are right now at Jimmy Kelly's. Yeah, like, I know Titans fans, Amy Adams Strunk is not your favorite person right now. You made that clear this past Sunday at halftime when Amy Adams Strunk was on the field as part of the ceremony for Mike Keith. She hears you. She knows things aren't going well. But that's just what happens when you're an owner in the NFL. You have to take your lumps when your team isn't playing well. So I hear you, Titans fans. You're pissed. We see it on our text line. We hear it on our phone lines every day. You have every right to be upset. I will not defend the Titans for how poorly they've been run and how poorly they've played over the past 2.5 years. But I think you are wasting your breath wondering if Amy Adams Strunk will ever sell the team. One texter says, what are the chances of Amy reaching out to the Steelers to snatch up Arthur Smith and bring him back home? I mean, Titans fans know that Brian Callahan more than likely is coaching on borrowed time. We've seen your texts about the coaching candidates. We've seen your texts about John Gruden. We've seen your texts about Mike McCarthy. Somebody even suggested Mike McDaniel, who still has his job, by the way, with the Miami Dolphins. He may not have it for long because the Dolphins are also winless. But we've seen Mike McDaniel. We've seen them all. We just haven't touched on all of them. But let's ask you this. Let's ask the question this way. Do you think that Arthur Smith will get another shot as a head coach in the NFL after how poorly his time in Atlanta went before he ended up back in Pittsburgh?
Well, depends on how this Pittsburgh Steelers offense does moving forward.
And I haven't watched a lot of Steelers games so far this season, so I can't
tell
you how well
it's going.
They
played much better last game, but their defense has struggled. I think their offense has been pretty good. Not great, but their offense has been good. I don't think it's their offense. It's because of their offense that they're losing. Their defense outside of last week game wasn't really stopping anybody, and that's uncharacteristic of a Pittsburgh Steeler defense. So what was the question again? I was just
the texter wants to know if Amy Adams-Strunk will consider reaching out to Arthur Smith
when there is inevitably
a head coaching vacancy.
I'm not going to say completely say no. You know, obviously, yeah, it does depend on what he does in Pittsburgh moving forward. But would he be a good fit with your young quarterback? We saw him as a head coach in Atlanta with all of that, you know, weaponry they had on offense, and it didn't amount to anything. And I'm not saying that, okay, since he didn't succeed at Atlanta, he can't succeed at any place else. But, hell, Atlanta, they had dudes.
They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, they didn't have a quarterback, but they had dudes. So I guess it depends on how he does with Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, whether he gets another head coaching job. But if I'm judging by history, yeah, he'll get another head coaching job. It may not be – if it's not within the next 2-3 years, I don't think he'll get it. I think he will remain just an offensive coordinator.
This is anecdotal, but it feels like in the NFL, head coaches don't get as many second chances as coaches in other leagues. You know, I of course know the NHL more than any other league. There are a lot of retread coaches in the NHL, guys who have had 4 or 5 different cracks at being a head coach. I think you could probably say the same about the NBA. Maybe I'm wrong, but it just feels like you don't like. It feels like you get one shot most times to be a head coach in the NFL, and if it doesn't work out, you can still coach, but you're not going to be the guy in charge.
No, it's just, I think there are guys that continue to get multiple opportunities. And those guys really are the guys that have won and have shown they can win at organizations, but maybe it just sort of ran dry and they decided to move on, like the coach at Washington.
Dan Quinn.
Yeah, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn was a head coach before, I believe.
Yes, at Atlanta.
In Atlanta. And he had a good – I think he had a good run, I believe.
Went to the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
So he didn't get another job for a minute, but now he gets this job. If you show within that time that you've had a job, if you show more than likely that you can win games – I think you're going to get another opportunity. Or if they see a situation, say, like the Titans, and they see the Titans was devoid of talent, and they look at what Brian Callahan did, and somebody else may say, if he does get released from his duties here, somebody else may say in 3 years, well, that Titan roster wasn't good. You know, they put him behind the A-ball. Our roster is much better. Let's hire him. He seemed to be a good offensive mind because at that point he would have been an offensive coordinator for somewhere for a few years and you know, showed his worth as far as play calling. But, yeah, I think now what it is that unlike other sports, really hockey really stays with, like, the known commodities.
Yeah. I mean, look at how many – just to use an example – that most of you will know. Look at how many coaching jobs Peter Laviolette has had.
Exactly.
Peter Laviolette, off the top of my head, he's coached the Islanders, the Hurricanes, the Predators, the Flyers, the Capitals, the Rangers. He's not coaching right now, but that's what happens in the NHL. I know that for a fact. The same handful of coaches get the same opportunities over and over. And again, I feel like it's the same in the NBA. I don't know that to be sure, but
it is.
So David says it is. So, like, it just, those sports are different than the NFL. I feel like the NFL, you're looking for the next big thing.
It's you're looking for the next big young thing.
Yes.
Like, you're looking for the next young head coach in the making. That's what you're looking for. The NFL has sort of turned its eyes toward the brilliant, youthful play caller, and as long as he can call plays, maybe he can be a head coach too, but that's not really why we are hiring him. We are hiring him because he really can call plays, and he's not going to come to us just as a offensive coordinator. You can keep there's no lateral movement here. If you're going to move, you're going to move up. So we might as well hire him as our head coach and just make him our offensive coordinator. That's what the NFL is about, trying to find that next young brain. They're not looking for that old dude or that dude has been around the block a few times. They're looking for that young, you know, guy that can sort of go with your friend. I mean, an energetic young guy.
Like Sean McVay.
Yeah, like Sean McVay that he's one of, he's energetic. He gets everybody. He gets the crowd to going. It's provocative. No. But they're looking for those coaches, youthful, guys that know the game really well, guys that are innovative. Those are the coaches that the NFL owners are looking for. They're not looking for sort of the, you know, dinosaurs, if, you know, a lack of a better word, but dinosaurs, so to speak, guys that have been around the corner several times. Now, they will, you know, get that guy if you know, he's there, but more than likely these owners and GMs are looking for that young, bright offensive mind or that young, bright defensive mind. More importantly, really more importantly, the young offensive mind than the defensive mind.
If you have a question for Derek, 615-737-1025. Call us, text us at 615-737-1025. One texter says, Derek, would you consider coaching in some form with the Titans?
Would I consider coaching? And if they considered asking me, I'd never turn it down. I would consider coaching.
Have you done any coaching before?
If they consider asking me. Yeah, I've coached at the high school level. I haven't went up no further than that. But I would... not as a primary coach. I would come in as an assistant to the wide receiver, because coaching, it's a lot, man. And you can't just jump, just because I know football, I can't just jump in and coach it, you know, especially not grown-ups. Now, kids, you can sort of jump in and you can, you know, you can do, that's a little bit easier, so to speak. But to try to jump in and just because I know football, just because I know it don't mean I can, you know, give those guys from a coaching standpoint exactly what they need, because I'm the type of dude to be like, man, you can't do it. Like, dude, why? Like, just tell me why you can't. Like, so why you can't do it? That would be me, and that's not the best way to go about it when you're dealing with grown-ups.
But what's funny is sometimes the best players do not make the best coaches.
No, you're right.
When you think, I mean, it's not a perfect comparison, mm-hmm. but oftentimes, like I'm thinking the prime example for me, mm-hmm. sort of, and you sort of touched on it, the prime example for me, and I'm looking up his coaching record right now because you sparked me as you were talking about it. To use a hockey example, is Wayne Gretzky. Mm-hmm. Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player of all time. Just lost the all-time goal record to Alex Ovechkin, but nobody is ever going to break Wayne Gretzky's scoring record in terms of points in the NHL. As a coach for the then Phoenix Coyotes, he had a record of 143, 161, and 24. And I think part of the issue for Wayne Gretzky as head coach of the then Phoenix Coyotes is, to your point, like if a player is struggling, Wayne Gretzky can't say, how come you can't do that? Wayne, nobody can do what you do. And also, I think it's harder for star players turned coaches to relate to, you know, the secondary players, the role players who don't have that same level of talent, who have to scratch and claw. So sometimes I do think that the most successful players turned coaches don't always turn out to be the best coaches. It's not perfect, but I have noticed
that. You know why? Because the best, like those guys... There's a arrogance about them, and there's this, you know, bravado that they have, but it's not to a point, and I'm relating it to, you know, like coaching now. It's not just coaching X and O's. You got to deal with, like, real, like, it's gotten, like, these, when you talk about a receiver being a diva, I mean, back in the day, diva was – that was funny. It was, yeah, the guy just wants the football and yada, yada, yada. Now it's more than that. The guy wants the football. He's not getting the football. Then he wants a trade. He's making it public. Then he going on IG or X and putting out all these cryptic messages and all that other stuff. See, I would be a coach, and I would ask, why? Why do that? Like, just get your ass out there and play. Why do all it? Because I'm not used to that. Like, just get out there and play. You don't need that those other antics and all that other stuff. Just go and play. Develop as a player. All that other stuff you're doing means nothing. But to them, it does. But that, like, as a guy that played, you know, in the early 2000s, trying to be a coach now, it's like, I'm not going to deal with it.
One texter says, Steve Nash and Jason Kidd, both top 10 point guards of all time, neither very successful as head coaches. That's sort of
Kidd has been. I mean, he was with the Dallas Mavericks. They went to, you know, when he was there. He's still a coach, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they went to the
finals.
The finals, what, 2 years ago?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it was about 2 years ago.
Jason Kidd's
an excellent coach.
It's not a perfect comparison.
No, it's not.
This is not to say that all highly successful athletes don't make good coaches. But I do think that there is a struggle there for those superstar athletes turned coaches to relate to players because, quite frankly, you're a superstar because what you can do, very few people
can. It's like, why can't you do it? I'm telling you everything that you need to do. I'm telling you, why can't you get it done? Because when my coach told me everything I need, I did it. Like,
right.
I just went out there and did it. So why can't you do it? I think that would be the dilemma with me. And I would have to remember everybody can't get it done the way you got it done, or everybody can't get it done the way you want it done.
615-737-1025. We will continue Ask D-Mace coming up next. If you have a question for Derek, call us, text us now. 615-737-1025. Derek is patiently awaiting your question. 615-737-1025. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think. With Bax Homeworks, you can get a free estimate right now at baxhomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. We are live at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse in Midtown Nashville. If you are looking for a place to go tonight or after the Vanderbilt game tomorrow, remember an 11:45 a.m. kickoff for the Commodores tomorrow against Utah State. If you're looking for a place to go, hopefully, to celebrate after the game, you can come right here just a few blocks away from First Bank Stadium at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse. Brian on our text line, by the way, if you have questions for Derek, 615-737-1025. Brian says, We're gonna handle this in two parts. Brian says, first off, Derek, if I was a voter, you'd be in the Hall of Fame already. Let's park that for a second because we will talk about that. Brian's question is, everyone is putting the blame on Callahan, which in games I get he hasn't looked good. But wouldn't it be more on the front office because this team they assembled isn't good depth-wise or personnel-wise?
And this is what I think the dilemma is. It's sort of that dichotomy they're in. Is Brian Callahan a good coach, or is this a really bad roster? He's right. You know, he wasn't handed a roster with a lot of talent on it, especially young talent. And then the young talent that he does have is injured. All three of them, Spears, J.C. Latham, and Tavondre Sweat. Three of them gone. Production gone. Young guys under 25, no longer in the lineup because of the injury. So that is a question. You know, just like the quarterback or the offensive coordinator, sometimes you get too much of the blame, sometimes you get too much of the praise. The problem with Brian Callahan is that there has been instances in the game where he, by his decision alone, cost the team, okay? And as a young head coach, you can't have too many of those, and he's had far too many for the Tennessee Titan fan. So that's why the heat is on Brian Callahan right now. Look, the team hasn't been good to, you know, thus far. They've had a few bright spots here and there. Alec Allmanner, DK has done well on special teams. Cam has looked good at times under the center. Skoronski is looking like an all-pro tackle, I mean guard. But outside of that, they don't have much going. So, you could spread the, you know, the wealth around when it comes to blame. Yeah, you can do that. But ultimately, it boils down to the head coach and those that are above him. And eventually, if he doesn't get it done this year, eventually the Reaper will come calling for those other two guys. That's just how it is. Because if they fire Brian Callahan and they still don't win, best believe the next step is, the most logical step would be to then fire the GM and anybody else associated with that. I'm not calling for that now, but I'm just saying that, you know, if you move away from Brian Callahan and you still have those same problems, then maybe it wasn't Brian Callahan alone.
Let's get to the first point on Brian's text. So congratulations to you, Derek Mason. You were among eight former members of the Tennessee Titans to be nominated for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2026. It includes, of course, Steve McNair and Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Lorenzo Neal, Delaney Walker, Jarrell Casey, and Gary Anderson. Here's my question to you.
Damn good players.
Very. Here's my question to you. Who is going to be the first player, and correct me if I'm clearly missing somebody, who is going to be the first player inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame who is commonly associated with the Tennessee Titans? First name that comes to mind is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, can you think of anybody else? Derrick Henry is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. People are going to say he was a member of the Tennessee Titans. Because
yes.
There are. I don't have the whole Pro Football Hall of Fame class in front of me from every year. But there are players who played for the Titans who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who are not associated with the Tennessee Titans.
Yes. Yes.
So, like, for example, Shea Weber. Shea Weber went into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Shea Weber is the first player in the Hockey Hall of Fame who is associated with the Nashville Predators. He played for other teams. Mm-hmm. He played for the Canadiens. But people know Shea Weber from his time as a member of the Nashville Predators. So Derrick Henry's probably going to be that player unless there's somebody else I'm not thinking of.
Because you got to figure, let's say he plays for another 2-3 years. Then he has to wait 5 years to be inducted, to qualify. So you're talking about 8 years from now. I would hope to believe, I would hope to think that someone that is closely associated with the Titans get nominated to the Hall of Fame by then, whether it's Steve, Eddie, myself, or whoever else is on that list. But if not, then, I think Derrick Henry, depending on what he does this year, he may end up a first ballot. If they win the Super Bowl and before he retires, he may end up being a first ballot. I wouldn't be surprised, not one bit. So if it's not there, if it's not in between these next eight, 9 years, then it'll be Derrick Henry.
Because if
A.J. Brown continues to do what he's doing, and then he says he's retired, you know, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, he wouldn't be associated with the Tennessee Titans. They wouldn't associate. They would associate him with the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Because he's been to 2 Super Bowls, won one with them.
Correct.
Yep. So he will be more associated with Philly than the Tennessee Titans.
Well, here's the question. I mean, the Ravens, they need a win bad. Mm-hmm. I believe they're playing Kansas City this weekend. If Derrick Henry wins the Super Bowl with the Ravens, will people then associate him more with the Ravens than the Titans?
Just depends. The Ravens will always consider him a Raven. Damn.
Of course.
Hey, no doubt.
I'm talking about the general fan.
I think the general fan will consider him a Baltimore Raven.
You see, that's
I know why you asked that question, because it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be. But if he wins the Super Bowl in Baltimore, Now, if he leaves Baltimore and say go to another team for a year, end up winning the Super Bowl, no. Mm-hmm. He'll be associated with the Titans in Baltimore, not with that team. But if he wins a Super Bowl with Baltimore and say he plays another 2 years there, then the casual fan are going to link him to Baltimore
more than Tennessee.
And unfortunately, because if he wins the Super Bowl there, that's what they would think.
Yes. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Based on something that...
Yes, I should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. You damn right.
I didn't even have to ask it. But I also have another question for you. Based on something that I received in my inbox this morning from the Nashville Predators. Mm-hmm. So the Predators, I'm reading directly from the news release, in a true only in Smashville experience, Nashville Predators fans have the opportunity to win a pair of tickets to opening night by visiting the team's Catfish Kissing Booth this Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. at Odie's, which is just down the block here, I think, in Midtown. For 1 hour, the first 10 fans to kiss a real catfish will receive 2 tickets to Nashville's opening night game on October 9th against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Fans can choose from 1 of 5 catfish on display, each with their own dating profile. Additionally, every fan who kisses a catfish during the 1 hour period after the initial lucky 10 will be entered to win a 2025-2026 Predators team signed jersey. So, one, would you kiss a catfish? And two, what is the grossest thing you've done on a dare?
Because it's the Nashville Predators, yes, I will kiss a catfish. If it wasn't the Nashville Predators or the Tennessee Titans, then no, I wouldn't. Now, the nastiest thing I did on the dare or the yuckiest thing I did on the dare?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't – gosh. I can't even remember because as an adult, I hadn't done anything. Because it's like, no, I'm not doing that. What are you, crazy? As a kid, I'm sure I did a bunch of things. But I can't remember those things right now.
Yeah, I can't say I've done
– I know I may have eaten an ant or something on a dare. Something like that.
An ant?
Yeah, maybe a little small ant. Maybe something like that on a dare. Or jump from one building to the next on a dare. Like, because we used to climb on top of my
– Who are you, Spider-Man?
My middle school. Because my middle school was right across the street from my home, my house. Columbus Middle School, right in Detroit, east side of Detroit, Spring Garden, okay? Yeah, it was right across the street. So in the summertime, we used to climb on top of the buildings and jump from one side to the other, run – some window was open. Somebody left the window open. So we would open up the window and run through the school. Just have fun.
The only thing I can think of, and it's not really gross. You may think it's gross, but it's really not gross, was that when I was younger, somebody asked me to eat, I think it was a chicken wing that was doused in ghost pepper extract.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
And I did it, and... I think I may have poured a glass of milk on my face.
Even with that, it's still there.
I love spicy food, but that was even
that
too
ghost
much
pepper
for
stuff,
me.
No, I'm not. Uh-uh.
That was it was not a slow burn. The moment that hit my tongue, it was on fire.
It was a constant burn.
and it took a while to subside. So that's the craziest thing I've done on the dare. I can't say I'm that wild and crazy to begin with. 615-737-1025. If you have any other questions for Derek, you can get them in. We'll get to them after we take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. We'll wrap up the week. Coming up next, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The Game Blitz with Connor Newt coming up next. But before we get there, it is time to take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Making lives better by making banking easier. You can visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and South and Southern Kentucky, I should say, or online at myfmbank.com. Before we make our selections for this week, let's recap our selections from last week. David James, if you please.
All right, boys. So let me get my computer ready. I'm so sorry. So our two primary questions were over under 33% for third down conversions by the Titans. Now, Adam and I said over. Willie and D-Mace said under. And it was over. It was 35% for third down completions for the Titans. So me and Adam got a point for that. And also, we had 1.5 Titans players to exceed 20 miles per hour in the next-gen stats. Now, mm-hmm. D-Mace is the only one that said over, and the rest of us said under. I believe, and again, D-Mace, you could tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I believe none of that, no Titans player hit 20 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And so, me, Adam, and Willie got points for that. Now, let's go to the next. Adam, you said the Colts will punt at least two times. After us bullying you, you decided to say two times. And they only punted once. So you didn't get a point from there. And you said Vandy minus 28 and a half. And that did happen. So you got a total of 7 points for 22 total points.
Okay.
There you go. And Willie, he said the U, Miami, beats Florida minus 7.5. That did happen. And that Cam Ward would have one interception. And he did. And so that's a total of 7 points for 30 total points. D-Mace, you know what, D-Mace, I wanted to save you for last, but unfortunately I can't. You had a, let me find it.
Wow.
An over. You had an over. You had an over.
What didn't I hit? What didn't I hit?
You didn't, so you said Purdue would cover against Notre Dame, plus 25.5. They scored 26 points on them. And then you said Cam Ward would have two touchdowns. He only had one.
Okay, so Derek 0-for. So 0 points for Derek.
He only threw a touchdown.
You had 12 points last week. Now you have 12 points again. So you're constant, you know?
Consistent.
Exactly. How did you do last week, David?
I said Diego Pavi would have three touchdowns. He only had two. And then I said Memphis would beat Arkansas. And they did. For a total of 7 points. So I had 23 total points.
Okay, so we all did well except for Derek. By the way, a programming note, there is no Game Blitz right after our show, but the Metro Game of the Week between Antioch and Cane Ridge starts at 6:30. So make sure to tune in for the Metro Game of the Week between Antioch and Cane Ridge starting at 6:30. All right, David James, this week you are in charge of our two common questions. Ooh. You will also be sharing Willie's pick since Willie is not here. So let's start with your common picks for all of us.
So the common pick is over under 15.5 points that the Titans would score. Now, so just for some context, the Titans have scored 17 points in total for all three games. So I decided to say, you know what, they're playing a good defense as well. So I said 15.5. I put the over under at 15.5.
Okay,
so I'm going to take the under on that. I say the Titans are held under 15.5 points.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Wow. I'm going over.
Okay. What did Willie say, David?
Willie said, let me find it real quick, so sorry. He said over 15.5, and I will also say over 15.5.
All right, so I am the only one going under here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Your second common question.
Now, the second common question is based off of obviously what Legarius Sneed has said, you know, about Nico Collins, not knowing who he was. How many yards will Nico Collins have against the Tennessee Titans? Now, I'm not doing an over under. I'm saying how many total yards will he have?
Okay. Well, this was going to be one of my choices before you told me it was going to be a common question, so I am going to stick with what I had before. Nico Collins will have at least 100 receiving yards this weekend.
I must say Nico will have at least 110.
Okay.
I like that. Now, Willie's the only one that is like a little bit on the low side. He said he would have 7 catches for 65 yards.
Okay.
So, okay, does he need to have the 7 catches too?
I mean, based
does on... Does it all need to go together? The seven catches and 100 yards.
I mean, no. Willie's the only one that made the clarification for the catches. If both those don't happen, then Willie doesn't get the points.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If one happens and the other, then no, he doesn't get the points.
Yeah, exactly. Both have to happen. So like that's what that is. And then I believe... I agree. I think he'll get 100 and like... 20 yards. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. So I thought I was going to be the highest total on that one. I guess not. David and Derek both have upstaged me. All right. To our individual selections, I will begin. The Bills are 15.5 point favorites over my beloved and terrible New Orleans Saints. I say the Bills will defeat the Saints by at least 20 points. It's going to be a bloodbath. So give me the Bills to beat the Saints by at least 20 points. I believe that game is in Buffalo. Micah Parsons makes his highly anticipated return to Dallas as a member of the Green Bay Packers. Micah Parsons has, if I'm not mistaken, 1.5 sacks so far this season. I say he has at least that many against the Cowboys. Give me Micah Parsons at least 1.5 sacks against the Cowboys in his return to Dallas on Sunday. Derek?
All right, I'm going to start on the college football front. I think Vandy wins, but I think Utah State covers.
I think it's 21.5
right now. It's 23.5.
23.5,
okay. I'm looking at ESPN. So if CBS says 21, 22.
Well, we'll say what ESPN says.
Okay, so I think Vandy wins, but
Utah State covers.
Utah State covers.
Okay.
So that's my first one. My second one is that Alec Eilmanner will have another touchdown. So this would be 3 for him.
Okay, a touchdown for Alec Eilmanner. David, what were Willie's 2 selections?
So Willie said UT, so Tennessee, -7.5, and then Virginia, +7.7 versus Florida State.
I thought about taking Virginia against Florida State in silly underdog picks, but I decided against it. David, what about your individual selection?
So I'm going to go to, you know, my beloved alma mater, the MTSU Blue Raiders are facing against Kennesaw State. And so I am going to say the Blue Raiders win. They're going to get on the board and win. And then also, you know, my beloved Ravens, they've had some struggles. Their defense has been struggling a little bit. Their offense has not. I believe that Isaiah likely will play, and he'll get a touchdown.
Okay.
So we will see what happens. We'll check back next Friday to see how we did in Take It to the Bank. The Tennessee Titans are at the Houston Texans at noon on Sunday at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. The Texans, despite also being winless, are 7-point favorites at home against the Tennessee Titans. Derek, your final thoughts on this matchup?
This is a critical game for the Tennessee Titans. Not just, I believe, for their coaching staff, but I think for their players. If they can somehow manage to win this game, then I think everybody in the locker room is going to continue to fight. Everybody's going to believe that they have an opportunity. If they don't lose it, if they don't win this game, it's going to be hard for this locker room to continue, especially, you know, with potential coaching changes staring in their face. It's going to be hard for those guys to motivate themselves each and every week to go out there and fight when, you know, everything around you is changing. So to me, this more than anything, they need to establish something Sunday. They need to establish that they are becoming a better team than what they have shown. They need to establish that they can protect their quarterback. And individual players need to establish that they can still play in this league. And there's one person that I'm really talking about, and that's Calvin Ridley, because I believe he can, but he needs to step up his play. So it's going to be critical for the Tennessee Titans, to go out there and put on a winning performance. Now, they may not win, but they need to put on a winning performance.
Don't roll over.
Yeah, exactly. Don't.
What you saw against the Indianapolis
Colts.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that 2 weeks in a row. Because if you do it this week, you're going to do it next week. And you're going to do it the week after. So I want to see some fight. You don't have to. I want them to win, but it has to look like you're competing. Like, it's going to be a dogfight between y'all two. If it's not, then it's going to be hard.
And I know we joked about this a little bit yesterday and even a little bit today. But if the Titans go to Houston and get annihilated, I do think that somebody is going to have to pay the price for that. And part of me thinks that Brian Callahan relinquishing play calling duties. And again, I think we all believe, despite the fact that he tried to say it was his decision, I don't think anybody actually believes that. Perhaps, you know, part of me thinks, you know, that stems the tide a little bit. Mm-hmm. That buys him some time as the head coach. But if the Titans go down to Houston and are uncompetitive, I think I think there are going to be repercussions. I can't escape that feeling. Perhaps I'm being hyperbolic. That happens from time to time. But I agree with you wholeheartedly, Derek. Just show some fight. Don't roll over as you did against the Indianapolis Colts. That was a rough game to watch. I mean, let's be honest. Most Titans games have been rough to watch lately. But let's hope that Sunday's is not one of those games. Mm-hmm. We will talk to you on Monday at 3 p.m. from the Circus Sportsbook at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. We will have full reaction to the Titans game against the Houston Texans. Thank you to Jimmy Kelly's for having us out here once again. If you are looking for a place to go after the Vanderbilt game tomorrow or tonight, it's a beautiful night, come on down to Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse in Midtown. We will talk to you from Kentucky, 3 p.m. Monday.
Be love. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The show loves you. You hear that music? Don't forget about us, even though it's going to be a weekend. Don't forget about us, because you know what? We'll be back Monday, ready to talk some Titans. Peace.